What is up, boys and girls? Everything in between. This is Bear With Us. I'm Matt. She is Leah. Leah, how are you, my dear?
I'm here.
You're here.
I'm here.
That sounds like an answer I would give.
Yes.
So I have basically rubbed off on you to the extent that you are.
I wish you rubbed off on me.
Maybe we wouldn't be in this situation if there was more rubbing and heavy petting taking place.
It's been a week, you guys. It's been a week.
It has been a week.
Just gonna say that.
It's been a week.
And last week, you were in a funk.
Correct. And it never stopped.
Never. So now it's rubbing off on me.
Well, that's why I'm not excited at all about today's episode, because I'm going to likely have to publicly admit some of my shortcomings.
Oh, wait. So you're admitting you have shortcomings.
In a way. They're very short. They're like microscopic.
Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day.
What is that dance that's happening right now?
You're admitting you have faults.
So you're dancing.
Yes. This is a breakthrough, a huge breakthrough.
This just verifies my theory that you, like everyone, enjoys my pain and suffering.
Oh my God. Here we go. There's not enough coffee in the world to get me through this episode.
Well, there'd better be, because we have to make an episode.
Are we just going to dive into it here?
There's no time like the present to point fingers and stare and laugh and mock me.
Okay, well, I'm not going to mock you because I do love you.
Mm-hmm.
I might not like you right now, but fair. I do love you.
And why don't you like me right now?
Because it's been a week. It's been more than a week. It's been almost 2 weeks of you being in a funk. And I get it. I'm all for understanding getting in funks. I get in funks. We all get in funks. However, when you get in a funk, you project your funkiness onto me.
When you're trying to contain this much funkiness, it's difficult not to project.
Get funky. But you do. And as much as I try, and I feel like I've really, if I could grade the effort I've put in over the last week and a half to pull you out of this funk, I would give myself an A+. And there are times where you've been in a funk, and I will admit, maybe I didn't do my best to try to get you out. But at the end of the day, it's also not my responsibility to get you out of the funk. And I just feel like I've exhausted all options here.
You've given up on me.
I haven't given up, but it's like, okay, I've done everything I can. You have to pull yourself out of this because there's nothing else I can do. And I think that takes pressure off me, because at the end of the day, we're not responsible to pull our partner out of their funks. We're the only ones who can get ourselves out of it.
I agree to an extent, but I feel as though having a partner help you is definitely paramount to the process.
Yes. But so when your partner does everything they can.
Just for the listening audience at home, what are some of the things you have done? What are some of the ways you have attempted to pull me from this funk?
So, for example, it all started last week. Last Tuesday. Well, Monday, we didn't really do anything. We just hung out at home. I made dinner. We didn't go anywhere. I'm someone who's a homebody. You are someone who needs to go out and do things. So on Tuesday, I thought, you know what? He's going to be clamoring to get outside to do things today. So I suggested going for a bike ride, because I figured being out in the fresh air, getting you to do something, would make you feel happy. I did not want to go for a bike ride on Tuesday because I had already worked out in the morning, and then I trained with my trainer in the afternoon. So I was already exhausted physically, but I said, you know what? I'm going to suck it up and I'm going to suggest going for a bike ride. When I suggested going for a bike ride, you lit up a little bit. So I was like, okay, cool. So we went for about a 20-mile bike ride. Still, no, you're not even talking to me. I'm like, cool, I did all of this. We went on this bike ride. I'm basically like dying on my bike because I'm so exhausted. I already trained for like 3 hours that day. So we're getting coffee and still not talking to me. So I thought, hey, babe, want to go out for dinner? And you lit up a little bit again. So I was like, cool, here, even though I wanted to eat clean, I wanted to stay home, cook, but I sucked it up. I knew you wanted to go do something. So we went out to dinner. Halfway through dinner, you're already like bitching about whatever. So I'm like, are you f***ing kidding me? The entire day, I didn't even want to go do this stuff. And here I am. You're still bitching. No big deal. Whatever. Get through it. So then the next day, we had to go for a walk. You wanted to go to some place in the strip to get beers. I did not want to drink. And I still went with you. We sat there. This homeless man blew cigarette smoke in my face the entire time.
You're so far off the actual case of what happened.
I know. But I'm just saying. So those are some things that I did. I did not want to go do those things, but I tried. The entire weekend, you know, we were with your kids, hung out with them. We went and listened to live music because that's something you are obsessed with doing. We finally got to go do that, go listen to your friend play. That was great. You know, we did all these things that I knew that you would want to do and you would like to do. And it still didn't pull you out.
Because the crux of my madness is not internal. It's not from our relationship. It's external forces.
Okay, but in that period of time, you decide to blame me.
Let me correct myself. The crux of my anger is actually being interrupted in the middle of a thought, which will happen 30 to 40 times between now and the end of this podcast.
Whatever.
But what I'm trying to say is, and I've explained to you, albeit insufficiently, that I am going through what I'm going through, A, because I have major depressive disorder. I got it diagnosed years ago. I've done a pretty good job of keeping it in check. I don't take my medication anymore. I've taught myself all these different ways to handle it. But sometimes it still gets the best of me.
Right.
But it's spurred on by external factors, not our relationship. Stuff like work, stuff like things like my rental car not being there when it was the time to pick it up. Like a million tiny, stupid things that ordinarily, one at a time, I wouldn't even think twice about. But it seems like in the past 2 weeks, it's just been a litany of stupid little things not going my way. Frustration at work, traveling, doing all these number of different things, going to dinner at this place that we're super excited about, and it sucked. That shouldn't matter to anything other than like, oh, we had a kind of a disappointing meal. But when you're looking for any sort of bright spot to kick out of this funk, and it just like one failure after another. So yes, I am guilty of taking all of these things that are weighing on me and projecting them directly at the one person who is always constant, always present, and always there in the moment where I need to vent and bitch. So it's not something I conscientiously am like, damn it, I'm going to blame Leah for this. But in the moment, which I'm gonna jump ahead because I know you were going to bring this up eventually, in the moment, I get diarrhea of the mouth, and you want to know what's wrong? Here, this is wrong, and that's wrong, and that sucks, and it just becomes a waterfall of anger and frustration, and it's on you. Without it actually being your fault, or without me blaming you or holding any sort of negativity toward you, that's just how it goes. And I know I'm not the only one that does this, projects frustrations and angers on their partner. You mean to tell me you've never done that to me?
I do, but I feel like you and I handle stress and depression differently.
Sure.
Like when things are bothering me and when I get in a funk, I don't like to do those things. I don't like to make my partner feel like poop. So I keep it in.
You make it sound like I choose. Like I'm like, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to make Leah feel like
shit. Because I've been in relationships in the past where they do that and you don't do that.
Okay.
But I internalize it because I don't want to. I'm the only one I know that I can get myself out of my funks. Like there's nothing you can say, nothing you can do. You can do everything right and it's still not going to matter because I need to believe it in my head.
Right. And correct me if I'm mistaken, but about a month ago, give or take, the roles were completely reversed.
Totally. I was in a funk. I was in depression. I was like feeling like shit. And I just told, and like, I just don't want to talk. I want to be left alone. Even like when you were on the road and I was home, I didn't want to text. Like I just was like doing my own thing. Like I needed to pull myself out of it. And that's the only way that I know how. And I know everyone deals with things differently. And all we can do is learn from it. And I know how you are now. I know how you get. So that's why when I know you're in a funk, that's why I try to go extra above and beyond that I know you like to do and will make you happy. And I do those things so I can hopefully help you get out of your funk.
Solving any problem, you have to address the root of the problem.
Yeah.
The root of the problem is not us. It's not you. It's not something
and
you did.
And I know
did.
That.
It's...
But at the end of the day, when it's been almost 2 weeks of feeling like, God, nothing I can do is right. And I just feel like no matter what, you're still in this funk. Eventually, it starts to weigh on your partner. And it doesn't mean like, you're not doing anything intentional to like hurt me. But at the end of the day, I'm still feeling, oh, God, like I'm doing all of these things and they're not working. And he's still sort of putting up this wall and, you know, not taking it out on me, but taking it out on me. And I just feel like, ugh. It's not like you're saying, you're a bitch, you're doing this wrong. It's not like that. It's just all these little things. That's all.
Right. So it creates kind of a toxic environment for both of us.
Totally.
To where this morning, before we came here to do this podcast, I could just tell something was up.
Yeah, because I just feel like, ugh, I want something from you now. Like, I feel like I've done everything I can do. I know you've been in a funk, you're probably not ready to give me the love, affection, attention I need, but I'm at a point now where I need that. And now how do we do that? You know, and I'm trying to suck it up, and I will, but today I'm in a little bit of a funk.
When that happens, and I'm sure people can relate to this, when I'm in a bad mood and then you get in a bad mood, it just exacerbates my bad mood.
Yes.
I want to be in a bad mood.
Okay, it's been two weeks you've been in a bad mood.
I don't care. It's 2 weeks well deserved. I deal with a lot of nonsense and BS in my day-to-day life.
We all do.
Sure. So when I decide that I don't want to say decide, when I'm in a headspace like I've been for 2 weeks, by this point, I feel like you should know how to handle this and let me be and let me work this out on my own, work through it, which to your point is what has to happen, but it takes me some time. I don't just wake up and go, I kind of did. I was in a bad mood last week and then we took a flight and I woke up and I physically felt different for like half the day. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to conscientiously try to pull myself out of this and I'm going to focus on things. And I hung out with the kids and did all these different things that ordinarily make me feel better. And it did sort of. I'm in the headspace where anything that goes wrong now feels like a mountain.
Yes. And that's
because I've already been in this place for so long that if the microphone fell right now on my lap, I would lose my because I'm just wired so tight right now and I don't know how to pull myself out of it at this moment, especially in the middle of a goddamn pandemic. Yeah. Because like we were talking about, we got to go see live music the other day because that's one of my little pleasures in life. But it's not like the world's functioning as normal where I can just go and have a litany of ways to help myself.
It's hard because I choose to look at things with the glass half full. So like, when you complain about something like they didn't have your rental car ready, I'm like, who cares? It's fine. It's hard for me to talk you off a ledge when it's something that I feel like this is so minuscule and not a big deal. But like you said, it could be things that aren't even a big deal in the grand scheme of things, but for whatever reason, they all add up. So me as your partner trying to sit here and not here right now, but when, you know, XYZ happens and I'm like, babe, that's really not that big a deal. Like, I know it's not what you want to hear, because if I tell you that's not a big deal, you're like, well, it pissed me off. So then I have to say, well, yeah,
right.
You know,
there's
that
nothing worse than when you're in a bad mood and have somebody tell you, oh, it's not that bad.
Yeah,
it's
totally.
Even worse now.
Exactly.
I want to kill you. And you weren't even part of my problem.
Right. And that I know that. So that's why when you're like, oh my God, I just got a paper cut. I'm like, let's light that piece of paper on fire and give it what it deserves. Even though really I'm like, you have a fucking paper cut, get over it. But that's how I feel.
Just for clarification purposes, of all the problems and minutiae I've dealt with, a paper cut has not been one of
them.
Well,
at this point, I wouldn't be surprised.
I know. I was just clarifying.
Okay. But I'm just saying, that's from my point of view. I'm trying to be there, even though I don't agree or see the reason why you get so upset over these little things. But that's you, and that's who you are, and I can't change that, nor would I want to. So I just am trying to navigate and learn and figure it out. I mean, obviously, we haven't even been together 2 years. So, you know, and now we're living together.
This is the first time in history I've been in a bad mood, so I can understand why that would be shocking to you.
Every time we're in a bad mood, I learn more and more, which at this point...
Get a Rhodes Scholarship.
But in all honesty, it is what it is. I think every relationship, you know, has their struggles, and every person deals with depression and issues in a different way. We can flip the switch and talk about me. I know that I'm not, I mean, despite what everyone may think, I'm not perfect. So I know I have issues too. And I know that, you know, when I go through my moods or have my funks, I know I want to be left alone. And for you, I know that's difficult because you want to fix it. And I'm like, just don't even talk to me. I'll fix it on my own. I know how to fix it. I just have to fix it. But you can't fix it. But I want you to love me and shower me with compliments and tell me how amazing I am, even though I'm being a bitch.
Like about a month ago when you were in a mood and I actually agreed with the point you were making, but I apparently agreed using the wrong terminology from what you desired in that particular moment, which led to you shouting at me for 45 minutes hitting me in the head with a soup ladle.
When do I ever shout at you?
I was kidding. I was trying to make it exciting.
Well, that's not exciting. People are listening.
I think people would think you beating me with a soup ladle would be kind of
exciting. Laid a finger on you.
Well, maybe I'm projecting a fantasy. Maybe I want to be hit about the head and neck and shoulders with a soup ladle.
Just shut your mouth. You just sound stupid.
You sound stupid. Is there a D at the end? Panned?
But in all seriousness,
I had to break it up. I had to break up the monotony.
I know.
I don't want people feeling like they're actually sitting in group therapy.
Listen, we can't all be sunshine and rainbows all the time.
I know,
we
it's hard. I'm sunshine and rainbows like 364 days a year.
And except I actually am sunshine and rainbows almost all the time. Right?
Yeah, you're like a goddamn Lisa Frank calendar.
Exactly. And you are a Black Sabbath poster.
You want to try that again?
You're like a crow poster. You're like black, dark.
Brooding.
Cauldron. You're a cauldron.
I'm a cauldron.
Yeah, that's what you are.
Okay.
You're a cauldron. And I'm Lisa Frank.
Everything's about balance.
Exactly. See, if we could just find someone right in the middle of us, that would just be like...
Did you just propose we have a thruple?
Okay, but let's get back to it.
We could find another chick and make her our buffer for moods only.
Why does she have to be a chick? Like, why can't we get Dennis Rodman in here?
You know what's crazy? If Dennis Rodman joined the equation, you'd probably get voted out.
What?
I have a feeling that's probably what would happen. I think me and the worm would end up being best friends, and we would just be like, oh, man, Leah's coming home. You want to go out? Yeah, cool.
Do you ever do that?
With Dennis Rodman? No.
Oh, like Leah's coming home, let's leave.
I don't. I'm just saying if that was the case, if Dennis Rodman joined our relationship.
We're digressing so far.
We need some levity in this situation. This is heavy. I'm venting. I'm bearing my soul for the listeners to hear.
Well, and I was trying to make myself look bad for your sake, so you're not the only bad one in this relationship. And then you started talking about Lisa Frank. But you really f***ed me up here. I'm not on the yellow brick road anymore. I don't even know where I am.
You were talking and about to admit to everyone that you're not perfect. And that when you are in a bad mood, like I have been for 2 weeks, you tend to do the exact same things that I do.
No, I do not do the same exact things that you do.
Yeah.
I internalize everything and I just need you to like compliment me in the meantime. That's it. Just be nice to me, give me love, and let me figure it out on my own. And I don't take it out on you.
Right. So
that's something that I don't do in our relationship because that's just not how I communicate.
How would you suggest somebody handle this? Because this is definitely something, I'm saying this with 100% confidence. People listening to this have dealt with it. They either do or in the past, or there was an email in the official Bear With Us mailbox that said something to the effect of the pandemic is weighing on people. And I think that can't be discounted. No. Even though it's become somewhat normal at this point, 8 months into the process, it's still not normal by human standards, by societal standards, by relationship standards. People are dealing with shit that they've never had to deal with before.
Not one thing could change about your life. Like, you could still be going to work. You could still be, you know, around your kids, your family, your friends. But we're in the middle of a pandemic, so no matter what, it's going to affect you in one way or another.
Right, and while we've been in this pandemic, everything that has happened in the world largely has been negative.
Yeah.
And so it's like a lot. Like, not only are you fighting your own...
internal battles.
Yeah, internal battles and whatever demons lurk in your skull, you're dealing with the world going mad as it stands right now. Yeah. So it's like there's a lot. And you say you internalize things when you're angry. I try to not put anything over, not to acknowledge things when they're little that bother me because I think, oh, that's nothing. But the problem is when I dismiss it the first time, it just kind of chills out somewhere in my brain.
Yeah.
And then when I dismiss something else, that dismissal now runs and joins the previous dismissal in that same little corner of my brain.
Yeah.
So when it gets full, I explode. And not like yelling, screaming, raving in anger. Just this is my explosion, so to speak. Like, just to be miserable for quite some time.
Right.
In your professional opinion, despite not being a professional,
right,
how can people avoid this pitfall that we are in right now?
Well, I don't think you can avoid it. I don't think you can avoid it. I think you have to go through it. There's no relationship that's perfect. Everyone's going to go through ruts. Everyone's going to go through down times. It's going to be up and down. That's life. That's relationships. We're humans. And I feel like when you're going through something, hopefully you do have a partner who can be there and listen to you and accept your flaws. And no, I know you're not perfect, but I love you. And I love the fact that you get, well, I don't love it, but you get upset over these little things, and it is what it is. This is what makes you you. And I wouldn't change you for anything. So I just have to, and I am learning how to deal with it, learning how to help you, learning not to take it personally. And I think, you know, that's all we can do, and just learn rather than getting mad and exacerbating the problem. Because I know if I were to tell you, babe, why are you getting mad over that? You'd be like, well, what do you mean? And then it's going to create a bigger fight. We have to humble ourselves. We have to take one for the team. We have to, you know, just shut our mouths and listen rather than making the problem worse. Because there's so many ways I could have made the problem worse. You could have made, when I was in my rut last month, you could have made it worse. But instead, you know, we just have to be there for each other. And if you think you have a perfect relationship, you're lying to yourself. If you're telling, oh, I don't go through bad times or I don't go through ruts, yes, you do. And I'm guarantee your partner does too. Maybe they just don't feel comfortable talking to you about it. But at the same time, we can't avoid it.
So what, from your perspective, being in the position that you are in, you just said don't take it personally, which I think is really good. How do you prepare or train your mind to not take it personally, knowing that it's not you, it's whatever I'm dealing with or whatever someone's partner is dealing with?
Well, I think a lot of times we have too much pride to be like, I'm trying to think of how to even explain it. I know if you're like pissed off at me about something, I know if I did something wrong, and I could try to think, okay, how did I, but no, I didn't do anything. I know I didn't. So I know it's something that you're going through, whether you have admitted it yet or not. I have to go through things that we've been through together and realize, okay, he's done this before. That was because he was mad about this problem, not because of something I did. And then I realize it. Can't take it personally. And then I try to ask you, babe, like, what's going on? And then either you admit it or it takes a little while to admit it. And then we just learn from it. Like, you can't take it personally. And if you know in your heart or your mind if you do something wrong. We all know if we did something to piss our partner off or like, oh, maybe this could have pissed him off. You can't be that oblivious to it. So you just can't take it personally. It is
what about, I'm asking you this because I know that this happened, but at the time I wasn't self-aware of what was going down, but I was pissed off about X, Y, and Z. You asked me about it, and then I sort of projected all these things, not all of them, but I projected them toward you, and I started almost searching for problems.
Yeah, you listed things that I was doing wrong.
I think it's, it's a long list, and we only had dinner one night. It was kidding.
No, when we were at dinner last week, I forget how it even came up, and then you started saying, well, I feel like I've been a ghost to you the last 2 days. And I was like, for a second, I was offended. I was like pissed off. I'm like, what do you mean you're a ghost to me? All I've done the last few days is spend every waking second with you and with your kids and doing everything for them. And I was like, how can that even be possible? And then I realized, oh, he didn't mean that. Because I know how you fight, right? And you also have to learn that about your partner, how they fight and things they do and say when they're pissed off and mad, and you go for the jugular.
I'm basically the Muhammad Ali of verbal arguments.
You, like, one thing, you just,
you can't touch me.
Yeah, it's terrible. And I just,
I'll rope-a-dope your ass.
That I just can't stand about you. That's one thing I can't stand. And I know you're working on it, but when you say things,
why'd you do the air quotes with your fingers?
Because you haven't gotten better at it.
We don't fight that much.
But when you're pissed off about something, even it's something I didn't do, you tell me all these things that I do wrong that aren't necessarily true.
I feel like it's healing from a worldview perspective. Like, well, if I got to fix this problem, I might as well. If we're going to replace the toilet, might as well change the tiles on the bathroom floor too.
Babe, the things you say are just like weird.
It made sense though. It was a great analogy.
That's weird.
Somebody listening to this heard that analogy.
I think everyone is like, your analogies are so ridiculous, and you just stop.
Look, no. Here's what's happening right now. I'm pulling you out of your funk, and you don't want to be.
I'm not even really in a funk.
No, you're
in I'm in a funk with you, but not in the world.
I am
only with you.
The laughter
no, babe,
and
it's
the lightheartedness.
Not funny. It's annoying.
Everybody's having a great time but you.
No.
I mean, I feel
oh my
like.
God. I just want to walk out of this room.
Then go.
You're driving me nuts.
I could take this all by myself. I'm a professional podcaster.
Okay. So I've been thinking about what we're talking about today and outside factors that can impact your relationship. And so I found this article that talked about, I think there were like 5 or 6 different points that can affect your relationship, that affect a lot of people's relationship. One, how you learn to communicate and argue, which is something that I was just talking about. You go for the jugular rather than just having a conversation and explaining the things that make you mad. Me, I just clam up. I don't want to talk about things. I just want to like... I need to get myself out of it.
I like to win.
Yeah, even if you're not right. You just then bring other things up that aren't even necessary or not even involved in the argument just for the sake of being mean. Past relationships are something that affect our current relationships because I know, as you've said before, in your past relationship, that's where you learn to fight dirty
right.
and be mean and stuff. So the first time I remember we even had an argument, I'm like, what the f***? Like, I thought things with us were great. And all of a sudden now he's like saying all of these terrible things. But that's how you were used to fighting for however many years. So that's another factor. Another one is self-esteem and how you like view yourself. And I feel like that was why I was so crazy last month, because I wasn't at work. I wasn't doing anything. I was just feeling like I had no purpose. So my self-esteem was like plummeted because I just felt like nothing was happening. So that was affecting us negatively because I just wasn't confident. I wasn't feeling, you know, good about who I was. And that was affecting you because I wasn't being myself. And then work was another big one. And I feel like that is a big one in our relationship, because when you're not happy with how things are going work-wise, then I mean, forget it.
Right. Because I dedicated my life to a certain craft. And when it doesn't go my way, I feel like everything I've accomplished to this point is for naught. And one bad day equals a waste of my entire life.
Right.
Probably not the best way to think, but at this point, I am who I am.
But see, that's also something I feel is, well, this is how I've been up until this point in my life. I'm not changing. That's such a stubborn, like, weird way to look at things. Yes, we can change. Ladies, I will say, do not ever try to change your man. It's never going to happen in a million bajillion years. But I think we as people are allowed to grow and change the way we look at things, the way we feel about things. It can't just be like, well, this is how I did things for my 36 years on Earth, and I'm not changing. Like, that's such a stubborn way to look at things. Don't you, like, why do you want to live your life like that?
I didn't say I wanted, I was refusing or resisting change.
Right, but I feel like
saying,
you look at things like that sometimes. Well, this
sure.
is just how I always did it. Okay,
right.
Well, here's another way to look at things.
Okay,
you could
great.
Always adjust.
More than one way to skin a cat.
Exactly.
So, what do we do now?
Get the f*** out of your funk.
Well, I'm trying to pull myself out of it with brilliant jokes and great analogies about porcelain, and you are just not having any of it. And I feel like the record will show when the jury of our audience rules.
Oh, I can't wait for them to come for you.
What does that mean?
They're just going to be
like... Is that
like,
Instagram slang?
No, just... No. I just can't wait for them to come for you in the sense like...
Come for me where? Like...
Oh my God, you're so old. I can't. You'll learn one day.
No, I probably won't.
I know you're not perfect. Neither am I. We both are so different. But that's what makes our relationship work. We both look at things differently. Different things piss us off. We deal with our anger differently. We both have depression issues in different ways. But here we are. We're together and feel like up to this point, it's worked. And all I can do is try to be there for you and vice versa. You're going to get out of your funk one way or another.
Probably due to my own humor.
I don't know.
Everybody's screwed up, including us. There's your closure.
Which is what I just said.
Here's
the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail. Mail! Question number one, honey. Okay, I'm old. Been married 30... Did you write this, babe? Okay, I'm old. Been married 30 years. We're in a rut, or at least I am. Hub doesn't want to do anything but watch TV. I like to go for a walk or window shop, simple stuff. How can I get him to snap out of it? He's a good dad, husband, cat owner, but boy, is he dropping the ball where we're concerned. He's not a cheater. He's just lazy, I think. Well, Deb, let's see here. I just feel like you can't force a man to do anything, right? You guys have been together 30 years. I look at my parents. My parents have been together over 30 years. And I feel like they were very similar to this. My mom always likes to go do things, but my dad was just kind of like, eh, he didn't want to do anything. So she started just doing things on her own. And then eventually he was like, hey, where are you going? And then he catches on. Also, like, maybe make yourself look like a babe. Get dolled up before you go window shopping or something. And then he'll be like, where are you going? And then he'll want to go with you. You know, just entice him a little bit.
Yeah, enticement, definitely a good strategy in this instance. Just try something different and just be honest and just say, hey, I'm bored. I want to go do something. I found this. Try something that neither of you have ever done before. Go axe throwing or go do something that's like off the wall. Go, like, I don't know, go to one of those gymnastics parks or like a tramp. Seriously, do trampoline something park. After 30 years, you guys probably have a lot of memories and a lot of things that you've done and that you like to do. Just shatter the norm just for a night. Like, plan a night, take him out and make him do or agree to do whatever it is that you have in mind. And even if you both mutually hate it, chances are you'll bond by how bad it is and laugh with each other the entire time you're not enjoying whatever it is that you're doing.
Yeah, maybe there's something that he wants to try that's not sitting at home watching TV. Maybe he wants to go try something, but you've always thought it was kind of a dumb idea. Well, then go try it with him. And then he'll see that you're willing to try and experience something that he likes to do. And then he'll probably, hopefully, will want to reciprocate and do something that you like to do. Maybe it's something you do once a week or every other week or once a month even. But start out slow and don't, you know, just dive in head first. Just, you know, ease them into it. Question number two, honey. Hey, Matt and Leah. First of all, I want to say that I'm a huge fan of you guys. My wife is dealing with some pretty major self-confidence issues. She has had two children and was never what you would consider big-breasted. And now her breasts, as she puts it, are flatter than a 12-year-old. She has kicked complete ass and is rocking an amazing body, even below her pre-pregnancy weight. But she says that she doesn't even want to look at herself in the mirror. I tell her that I think she is sexy and beautiful and that I love her body just the way it is, but it usually induces an eye roll from her and she clearly doesn't believe me. I don't know what to do or how to help her get her confidence back. When we met, she was incredibly confident and her sex drive was insane. I wish I knew more about what I could do. I just want her to see what I see when I look at her. There's nothing you can say or do for her to feel confident about herself. She needs to feel it in herself. Matt could tell me a million times that I look hot or look whatever, but if I'm not feeling it, then I don't believe it. So she needs to feel it in herself. So until she can get that confidence back, like I said, you can be blue in the face, but she's never going to believe it. So it's just something that she needs to find on her own. I truly don't know. I've never had a kid, so I don't know what that's like to have your body change. I've had a lot of friends that have, you know, said that their body's changed and they're trying to, you know, get their confidence back. And eventually they do. But I don't really know. Like, I don't know what that's like to go through that experience of having a child.
And I'm honestly not making a joke this time, but this is a question to you as pertains to our email. Would this be a scenario that would benefit from a thirst trap photo shoot?
Ooh, yeah, that might not be a bad idea.
I mean, obviously, the level of thirst is up for debate.
And
but
it's
would
all
that
personal.
Be something, yeah, like to find a photographer? I mean, you can, a quick Google search will find somebody who, yeah, who does photography like that. Like, maybe, yeah, show
yeah,
her a date
of
feeling hot and beautiful and send the kids to a sitter or just the two of you have to do it. But do something sexy
That's
together.
That's such a good idea. Maybe get her, you know, someone to come do her hair and makeup and, you know, do a cute little photo shoot. That would be so hot. That's such a good idea.
I have them from time to time.
And then, yeah, do a couple little photo shoot and she'll be feeling real sexy. Maybe you can go out for dinner after. And then maybe that's what she needs to get her groove back. Just a little confidence booster. that worked for me. I was feeling like crap all summer because I haven't been working and just feel like I gained some weight in quarantine. And I was like, you know what? I need to feel good about myself. I got my glam done, did a cute little photo shoot on the beach. And I was like, okay, honey, she's back. She's back. So maybe just something like that would make her feel really good about herself. And it'll make you look like a great husband.
And you'll have great photos of your wife to check out.
Yeah, and then you'll probably have great sex.
Hopefully. Look at you, grinning from ear to ear now.
Because that was
5 minutes ago, you were bitching about how you were complaining, disagreeing.
See, a simple word makes a big difference, guys.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
So I guess you're going to set up a photo shoot for me or something? Is that what you're going to do?
Yeah, I was going to take you somewhere that you would feel really in your milieu with the stuck-up people of Cincinnati. That's another
Family
question
feud.
For another
we
conversation.
The other night.
How do our lovely listeners refill the mailbag?
So send us a little email. If you just get on your little computer machine or your phone and send a little email to bearwithuspod@gmail.com. B-A-R-E.
With us.
Bear with us. Yeah, I don't know. My tongue got a little tied there.
Okay. I was
bear
not,
with
I was not going to point it out.
Yes. But I mean, you're the one that's tongue-tied, by the way.
Literally.
You guys, he is tongue-tied. I didn't even know that was an actual thing. I thought that just meant when, you know, you couldn't get your words out and you're tongue-tied. I don't want to say there's any problems with your tongue. But he's actually tongue-tied. It's like the thing underneath your tongue.
It's called your frenum.
He has a very short frenum?
No, my frenum is attached very close to the very front of my tongue.
Yes.
Most people's are somewhere in the middle.
Right.
And then he hit, like, Gene Simmons, who was, I don't even think existed.
Right.
So he could stick his tongue down to his nipples.
Right.
I have to stick my tongue on other people's nipples.
Other people's nipples?
I mean, just a
babe,
royal.
Whose nipples are you sticking your tongue on? Dennis Rodman's?
Goodbye forever.
Bear with us.
I don't want to put my tongue on Rodman's nipples.